Hare Krishna. It is our great honor and fortune to be amongst all of you this evening. As I was walking in the hall, I inquired from Banki Bihari Prabhu, Mr. Ashok Agarwal, what is the purpose of this function this evening? Would you like to know his reply? The brahmacharis may like to know his reply. That his very dear daughter, Preeti Manjari Puja, will be marrying our very dear friend Pankaj in the month of May. And during that time, I will be in the United States of America. So he wanted a nice function to invoke blessings upon these two wonderful souls before I leave. That's the external reason. The internal reason is he knew none of the brahmacharis would come to the marriage, but if I came, that they would come this evening and bestow blessings upon them. In Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, there is a beautiful sloka. Atha pumbir dvijastarishtas varanashvama vibhagasha shvanushtatasya dharamasya samsadir haritoshinam. According to the social directive of the Vedic literatures, and according to the basic culture of any civilized society, there are various divisions. The Vedas describe there is brahmachari, or student life, cultivating deeper inner awareness of their spirituality. There is grihastha, or family household life. And then there is retired life and life of total renunciation, sannyas. Whatever our occupational duty, whatever our particular status in society may be, the success is simply how we please Krishna or God. From a spiritual point of view, that is really the only criterion of success. Because we are eternally part of the Supreme Lord. The soul within this body is spiritual by nature. The body, the mind, the intelligence, the ego, they are various layers or coverings that temporarily are with us. Vasamsi Jinani Yathaviha. Bhagavad Gita describes that this gross and subtle body is like a set of clothes for the immortal soul. Just like our soul, we get new clothes and we're very nice, but then clothes get older and they get older and then they get older and eventually they're no longer functional. We must discard them. So similarly, either from some unforeseen difficulty that comes in life, or through the process of time, old age. Everyone must die. In fact, in the West, if something is going to be as certain as it possibly could be, the emphatic way of explaining that is this will happen sure as death. Gita explains, for one who is born, death is certain, and for one who dies, rebirth, a new life is certain. Na jayate mriyate vakadacha. Because the soul is eternal. The soul is beyond birth, beyond death. The soul is transcendental. It is of the Lord's spiritual energy. So, intelligent, cultured society is a society that bases its direction in life on how the soul is utilizing this temporary mind, intelligence, and body for the purposes that are actually beneficial for itself and beneficial for all others. So how we utilize our time is a sign of great intelligence. So in this particular verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, whatever our occupation may be, whether we're sadhus or whether we're housewives or students or business people, industrialists, politicians, warriors, agriculturists, doctors, lawyers, whatever it may be, success is not how much prestige and fame we get, because that will come and go, and it can give no happiness to the heart. It is not how much money we earn, how much property we acquire, because all of these things can give some sense of satisfaction to the mind and the senses, but they cannot touch the heart. They cannot touch the soul. The only one experience that actually penetrates through the body, the mind, and enters into the heart is the experience of love. And the only type of love that actually reaches the true self, the soul, is love of God. That is the essential purpose of life. And therefore, the expression of our love and the means of achieving that love is to act and to live in such a way that is pleasing to Krishna or the Supreme Lord. So in whatever we do, this is the cultured criteria of whether it is success or failure, to the extent it pleases God. Because in this world, we can never please all the people all the time. We may please some of the people some of the time. Whatever you do, people are going to love you for it, and people are going to think you're crazy for it. Yes? If you're dedicating your life to making money, if you make a lot of money, there are going to be people who appreciate you, and there are going to be people who are going to be envious and hate you. Yes? If you dedicate your life to a spiritual path, some people are going to love you, and some people are going to think you're just wasting your life for what? Yes? But if somehow or other we can please Krishna, then there's real substance, there's real meaning, there's real fulfillment to our existence. Second chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam describes, if you put water on the root of the tree, the whole tree is satisfied. Similarly, if you give pleasure, give satisfaction through your service to the root of all existence, Krishna, then we actually experience the highest happiness. And we also give the greatest service even to the devatas, the demigods. Krishna tells in Gita, aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartite. Iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvita. This is real intelligence according to Gita, to understand that I am the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise, the intelligent, those with buddhi, who knows this perfectly, engage in my loving devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. This is not a sectarian concept. It is the most universal principle of life. Nam nam akari bahuta nija sarvashaktis. The Supreme Absolute has many names, but there is one Supreme God, Krishna, the all-attractive one. It is the message of every great spiritual teacher that has ever lived. The first and great commandment of all the Western religions, Islam, Judaism, Christianity, the first and great commandment, which is the basis of all of these theistic paths, is to love God with all your mind, your heart, and your soul. And how do we express our love? By acting in accordance with the will of God. In every spiritual path, there are laws of God. And we show our love by following those laws. However, there's something much higher and deeper. We can fear God and follow the laws because we do not want to meet the wrath of the Lord. But the higher principle is on the positive side, to serve in such a way that will give pleasure and satisfaction to the Lord, to express our love for the Lord. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was a family man. And he performed his occupational duties so well that no one could say a thing against him. Bhaktivinoda Thakur had a wife, Bhagavati, and 10 children, one of whom was Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He had an estate that he lived in, and he was working for the British government at that time, and he was being placed in various parts of India by the British Raj, because they had so much confidence and faith in his intelligence, his ability, and his integrity. Amongst the politicians in Bengal and Orissa at that time, he was the emblem of moral, spiritual integrity. He lived what he taught. And he taught the truth. He was a magistrate. He would go in the courtrooms and hear cases and make decisions. And his decisions were so penetratingly accurate, so utterly sensitive to the time, place, and circumstance. He was so efficient. He was so right in every occasion. And the notes that he took for each case that he presented for the government records were the most complete, comprehensive, and well-organized of anybody else. And he could just see right into the truth so quickly that he would be able to bring in cases and finish them more in a day than most advocates could do in days or weeks. I mean, most judges. This was his capacity. He was a great devotee of the Lord. He showed that being a devotee doesn't mean you're lazy or sloppy. Whatever you do it first class. That is a devotee. And even the most difficult circumstances that were threatening the whole government at certain times, they actually, high people of the British regime, came to Bhaktivinoda Thakur and appealed to him, please solve this problem for us. We don't know any other way. This was life-threatening, sensitive problems that could erupt into communal riots and violence. They trusted there was no one else who could deal with it. He was expert. He was loyal. But what did he do with the prestige, with the fame, with the wealth? He used it to raise his family to be pure devotees of the Lord. And he used it to help the entire society to understand Krishna. Although he worked very diligently, responsibly, and expertly, when he came home, he took care of his family in a fantastic way. They were all happy and enlightened. But he wrote books, volumes and volumes of books, and prayers and songs. And he went out and taught people about the true meaning and essence of life, bhakti, to serve the Lord. He influenced hundreds and thousands of people. And even today, several generations later, people all over the world are studying his books, singing his songs, and remembering his life. And they're becoming enlightened. Now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, even the greatest sadhus and ascetics, like Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, would come to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house, not just to get first-class prasad, but also to sit and listen to Bhaktivinoda Thakur discuss Srimad Bhagavatam. Could you imagine? After working in the British courts as a judge all day long, dealing with criminals and all sorts of civil and cases, and after all that, making all these judgments, he just come home, take a little prasad, meet his family, then he'd speak on the Srimad Bhagavatam. And he, not only common people, but pundits, sages, and even the greatest ascetics, renunciates, and Babaji's would come to hear him speak. Because he had such deep, deep realizations. Now here are these Babaji's who won't even look at the direction of money, who have absolute celibacy in their lifestyle, who have no possessions. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, when he would get hungry sometimes, he would just eat some mud from the Ganges. That was his detachment. Sleep on the ground. When materialistic people were asking him for blessings too much, he started doing his bhajan in the place where everyone went to respond to nature's calls, so that no materialistic people would come and bother him. This is the extreme of his renunciation. One time, somebody wanted so bad to give him a place to live, so they brought him to a dharamshala. So he lived in the latrine. And it wasn't like flushing latrines of today. These latrines were before the modern devices. But yet this Gorkha Shordas Babaji, who spent his whole day just in Nirajana Bhajan, just chanting God's name, praying to God, remembering the leelas of the Lord, solitude, he would come to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house. Here's a man who's a judge under the British regime with 10 children, has a big estate that he owns, and Gorkha Shordas Babaji is coming to learn from him what is devotion. That was the power of his love for God, his power of his compassion, the power of his realization. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, one beautiful song he sings, Grihe tako vane tako Sadahari bole tako Sukhe dukhe bulo nako Barne hari nam koro re gai Gaura madhu sware nam gai Gaura madhu sware, everybody. Grihe tako vane tako Satahari pole tako
Grihe tako vane tako Satahari pole tako
Grihe tako vane tako Satahari pole tako Sukhe dukhe bhulo nako Varne hari naam koro re
Whether you are a grihastha, living with husband, wife, children, occupation, property taxes and everything else that comes along with it, mortgages, utilities, children's education, getting your daughters married, or whether you're a sannyasi, just living with a kopan and a danda in the forest, it doesn't matter. Just take the name of the Lord, Hari, and your life will be perfect. Your life will be successful. So the path of bhakti, which is described so beautifully in Bhagavad Gita, teaches how everyone in every sphere of life can achieve perfection. And how everyone in all different social positions can respect, honor, and harmonize with each other for the purpose of uplifting society, individually and collectively. That is civilization. Civilization is not about developing very sophisticated technology and creating a very, very strong economy. That may be helpful, but that's not civilization. If with that technology and that strong economy, people are becoming intoxicated and wasting their human energies, having illicit sexual relationships, slaughtering innocent animals to drink their blood and eat their meat, slaughtering innocent babies in the womb, because of irresponsible behavior, greed, anger. This is not civilization. Civilization means to be civil. It's an isation that is civil, in so many words. And what is being civil? It's to do unto others as you want them to do to you. That's the basic principle of being civil. To be kind, to be compassionate, to be intelligent, to respect others, to harmonize with others for the right purpose. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying like this. Whether you're family with all the duties of family life, or whether you're living in a brahmachari ashram, or living in a kutir, or living in the forest, that is not what is important. Those are details. What is important is, what is our purpose? What is our aspiration? What is our values? And what is the integrity that we're building the foundation of our life on? Even atheists, even people of religions that hated Hindus, honored, respected, and loved Bhaktivinoda Thakur because of his compassion, his respect, his humility, his intelligence, and most of all, his undeterring integrity. There was nothing in the 14 worlds that could tempt him into corruption. He was a man of honor, and people respected that. That is what is required. That is called civilization. When people are educated, inspired, and trained to have these internal qualities. Because without these qualities, spirituality is something very superficial and misleading. So many people today are even turning against religion because it just doesn't make sense to them. When they see people who are hypocritical, who are immoral, who are hateful, who are violent, these people are professing to be religious, even religious leaders. I want no part of it. We live by what Krishna has revealed with integrity. Then we actually inspire others on the path of truth. That is all important. So grihastha life means man and woman who are married with this foundational principle in their life, that our coming together is centered and focused around caring for one another in a very, very sensitive and dedicated way for the purpose of serving God and for the purpose of giving charity, the highest charity of our example and spiritual consciousness to the society around us. Every human being is karmically responsible to do something for society. Selfishness is sinful. If we're not utilizing whatever we know, whatever we can do, and whatever intelligence, whatever abilities and whatever we have for the welfare of others, then that's not dharma, that's adharma. Basic principle of grihastha life means to earn spiritual wealth and other types of wealth and to utilize it for the welfare of the world. That is called grihastha. Centered around service to God. And grihamedi is when two people come together and they just live in the selfish environment of I'm enjoying, you're enjoying, and let us enjoy, even at the cost and expense of others, without a center of spiritual principle. So the greatest need in society today is examples. And that is our hope and prayer that Pankaj and Preeti Manjari Puja will actually strive sincerely and honestly to live by principles that really can uplift society. And that all other grihasthas or householders also strive to live by these holy principles. And all of the sadhus also strive to live by these holy principles. Then there's meaning to life. Then there's eternal benefit. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes it very clear in this song that the purification of the heart that really makes all of this possible internally comes when we learn to sincerely chant the holy name. Chanting God's names is not just a religious form of entertainment. It is the Yuga Dharma. It is the highest, most essential form of worshiping God in this age. Because chanting the name of God purifies the heart and awakens the inner dormant spiritual qualities of the soul. Awakens the compassionate spirit of service to others and the ecstatic emotions of loving God. That is the principle that one gradually realizes through the chanting of the holy names. Grihe tako bane tako Sada Hari Bole Thako
Grihe Thako Bane Thako Sada Hari Bole Thako
Grihe Thako Bane Thako Sada Hari Bole Thako Sukhe dukhe bhulo na ko barle hari naam koro re Gai gora madhu svare
We never got to practice this together. Yes, by chanting the holy names of the Lord and awakening that inspiration of service to the Lord, we can achieve a happiness beyond the flickering pleasures and pains of this world. Sukhe dukhe bolo nako. That means happiness and distress, pleasure, pain, honor, dishonor, success, failure. These are all the dualities that we live within this world. Sometimes happy, sometimes distress. Pleasure, pain. Honor, dishonor. You cannot have one without the other. They're all temporary, transient. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, whether you're living in a house with a family, or whether you're living in the forest with a begging bowl, doesn't matter. Just take the name, purify your heart, and come to that state of ecstatic bliss that is beyond the temporary happinesses and distresses in this world. And then utilize your wonderful life to share that love, to share that experience with others, through whatever we do, then life has such a deep, sublime, and wonderful meaning. So on this auspicious gathering, we humbly appeal to all the assembled devotees to pray to Radha Gopinath to shower their most auspicious and merciful blessings upon Pankaj and Preeti Manjari for their future as a married couple. Thank you very much. Arrivo.